It's interesting to imagine thinking about being a follower of Jesus as if you were running a race. Now, these athletic images are used rather frequently, and I thought it would be fun this morning to think about why these were so important to the ancients. So I thought I'd talk a little bit about the ancient games of Greece, which continued on through early Roman times, and what they were like that Paul and the author of Hebrews and other writers would draw from it. Now, the Isthmian Games, or the Isthmia, were one of the Panhellenic Games of ancient Greece and were named after the Isthmus of Corinth. So the first letter that I read from today was to the people of Corinth, for whom these athletic events were extremely important. They were held in a rural sanctuary on the isthmus that is now a small neck of land that connects the Peloponnesian Peninsula with central Greece. The Isthmian Games were held both the year before and the year after the Olympic Games in the spring. The games were dedicated to Poseidon and to Polyman, a hero from one of the foundation myths. Early in the 11th century B.C., there was a cult for Poseidon on the isthmus. The temple was built in the early 7th century, and the games were founded in 582 B.C.E. If we believe the traditional beginning of the Olympic Games in 776 B.C.E., we can say that the first Isthmian Games would have been held, most likely, around the 582 date that is given to it. They were organized by the city of Corinth until 146 B.C.E., when their city was destroyed by the Romans, and for a while they were relocated. In 40 B.C.E., Corinth got hold of the organization again, and from then until about the year 40 A.D., the games moved back to the isthmus. Now, the games were also known as the Stephanitic Games because winners received only a garland for victory. Literally, this is an imperishable garland, but theirs was made from real garland. And in fact, so they were awarded a garland of pine leaves in the archaic period, and then one of dried celery. Now, I had a hard time quite imagining that's wild celery, but I was tempted, I admit it, I was tempted to try to make a garland out of celery for this event, but gave up on the prospect. So leave it to your imaginations what a garland of wild celery looked like. And then once again, they returned to pine. I guess the celery was not as popular as the pine. Now, the victors received no other material awards at the game, although sometimes they would receive a little statuette or an ode would be written in to honor their victory, except some of the polis, some of the city-states, did offer a monetary award for those from their particular city-state who won one of the events. Now, the program began at dawn with a sacrifice to Poseidon, followed by lunch, and then the athletic contest took place in the afternoon. The games closed with a big feast. From the 5th century BCE, along with athletic events, music, poetry, and other contests and rhetoric were held. In fact, they think that the music and poetry and rhetoric contests may have actually preceded the athletic events for the games. So at first, it was really an artistic event, not an athletic event. The archaeological findings indicate this, that these celebrations would last for several days, the athletic events for three, and the program consisted of three parts. The horse races were the most important part of these games, for Poseidon was the patron of this sport. And, of course, there were all the musical contests. The athletic events included foot races, wrestling, boxing, pancration, which is a type of wrestling, and the pentathlon. Now, the foot races included the stadium race, a run of one length of the stadium of roughly 192 meters, the dialus, which was two lengths, the tolikos, a long distance race of 7 to 24 laps back and forth, because what they would do is they would run and then they would just circle a pole and run back rather than an oval running. And then there was one race in which the athletes wore a helmet and greaves and carried a shield. Later, chariot races were added. Boxing, or pugilism, which Paul refers to in his letter, was considered a combat sport, and there were no weight categories. Your opponent was selected by lot. You can imagine what that was like. Now, the boxers would wear leather thongs around their hands to protect them. But later, they started adding metal to the thongs at the knuckles in order to do more damage. All right, so that's what the games were like, that Paul and the writer of Hebrews refers to when they begin to think about talking about what it means to be a disciple. Think of these games. Now, I got to thinking about it, and the first one, the example from Hebrews, we imagine that Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, the one who has endured so much, is at the head of the race, and we are to model our running after him. So I began to think about how infrequently I have heard metaphors using Jesus as an athlete. We don't think of Jesus in that way. I imagine a youthful, strong, athletic, fit Jesus running at the head of the race. It's kind of a delightful image. I did have trouble, though, imagining. Then I thought, well, what about other metaphors? So now I'm going to ask you to help me. Athletic metaphors for Jesus. Quarterback? How does that strike you? Calls the play? Well, supposed to call the play. All right. What other? Come on.
Like to share the weight.
Huh? Enduring. And what kinds of sports do we think about today with strong demand for endurance? Marathons. Absolutely. Anything else?
Distance swimming.
Bicycling. I don't know, 100 miles, take a 100-mile bicycle. Mm-hmm. It's a very interesting idea because we don't often think of Jesus with those kinds of images in mind. But what the author of Hebrews is imagining is everyone who has ever lived, who was faithful to the promises of God, is watching the race. It's a marvelous image. So lined up all around, watching, are all the heroes and heroines that we read about in the Hebrew Scriptures. So back they're all gathered. And all those who have gone before, they're all watching. And they see in this race the fulfillment of all the promises of God through all the centuries being realized. And all of us are also running in the race. Now, some of us are runners and some of us aren't runners, so this may not appeal to everyone, but there's this idea that we are all enduring the race and following Jesus. He's up ahead. We can see him. And he has been through so much. In fact, we're reminded this man went through literally hell on earth because of his faithfulness, and his eyes were on the prize. But the prize is what's interesting. What is the prize? Well, we know that the prize that was awarded at the end of these races was a perishable prize. And what we're told is that Jesus is racing for the imperishable prize. Now, in the book of Hebrews, we go, well, what is that? Because it's not really clear in this section what Jesus is racing toward. Where is this faithfulness taking him? Well, we know that according to the book of Hebrews that he will be enthroned at the right hand of God. But that isn't why we're all following him. The reason, according to the book of Hebrews, that we're all in this race together is because it's going to lead to the new city of God. It's going to transform everything. If we'll all get in this race, and we will all endure and be as faithful and as concerned, as compassionate as this Jesus, the entire world will be transformed. So everyone has to get in the race. Interesting. Interesting idea. Now, Paul, though, and Paul is inclined at times to brag a bit about how fit he is. And so in some ways, Paul is like many athletes we know who will demonstrate to us, especially those of us who are less fit, just how fit they are. And so Paul is saying to everybody, look how much I can do, and look how much I endure, and look how strong I am. And you are supposed to be inspired by me to do the same. And so that's what he's telling us. Come on, join me. Because Paul is talking about endurance. Now, Paul uses the word endurance many times in writing to the Corinthians. Now, you might remember a little bit about the Corinthians. The Corinthians, well, I think most of us who've gone to seminary, if we were considering a church and a congregation that might call us, the last place we want to go would be a church called Corinth. They were fighting constantly. They were having all kinds of disputes about who was the greater gifted person, whether they could speak in tongues or whether or not they had the gift of prophecy. They were all very, very proud of their particular gift, and they had their own contest going on about who was the most gifted. In addition, there were divisions, socioeconomic divisions, and so, as I've told you before, when it was time to enjoy their common meal, it wasn't so much a common meal, because what would happen is those who had resources for fine wine and delicious food would bring their food and sit and eat while everybody else ate beans. And they saw nothing wrong with this particular division until Paul said, no, I don't think so. If you insist on having your fine wines and your delicious food, eat before you come. Otherwise, share with everyone. So Paul's concern throughout the letter of all the letters to Corinth is, think about how the other guy or gal feels watching you enjoy the things of life for which they have no access. Imagine what it means to be a compassionate and healing and kind person as you engage with one another. I want you to become a community of fellow Christians. And in order to do that, you have to surprise yourself sometimes. Look how much I have sacrificed, he tells them. Now, I'm not sure that that is the best preaching approach. I don't know how much you all would be impressed if I told you all about the sacrifices I have made. But that is the approach that Paul uses. Because he wants them to see that by making sacrifices and becoming a more fit individual, one can endure so much for others. That's the whole point. Paul really isn't focused on the prize, on winning the race so much, as getting everyone engaged in the race. Let's all go for it. Many have said it's more like a relay race. If we all really work hard and we take ours on to the next person, they can continue running and we can all do this together. So, if you want to imagine Christianity as a relay race, that's a metaphor we probably don't use very often either, but that's what Paul is saying. We're all in this together. If we can only endure together, we can make a difference. We can care for one another. We can all be fit. So, images of athletics. A few weeks ago, you may remember, I brought a bowl of water and a bowl of pretzels, and we were talking about the Trinity on that particular day. And if you probably only remember the water and the pretzels, but that's okay. What's interesting is how often in our scriptures, we are trying so hard to explain something, and we struggle to find the word. And so metaphor is used. In this case, a metaphor of a race, of a competition. And yet, in many ways, what's interesting is it isn't so much the competition that both of these writers emphasize, but the actual pleasure of being in the race. And why do you want to be in the race? Because the goal of the race is the transformation not only of the small community of Corinth, but the transformation of all of society. Being in the race means learning how to endure. It means giving up what you have for others. It means that you're not in it alone, because if you look around, everybody is cheering you on because everybody needs you to be in this race. Not only those who've gone before, but those who will follow. The generations yet to come want you to run this race. So we have this marvelous image. Now you can strain it too much. It's like any metaphor. If you take it too far, it begins to break down and doesn't work so well. So it's no surprise that Paul brings it in and then drops it, and even brings in his boxing skills. He doesn't box the air, but he does go for making a hit. Now, we made that one, I think we have a little trouble with, that particular image. But so now I'm going to ask you, how many of you have been in any kind of competitive sport ever? Okay. Let's go around and find out what they were. What was yours?
Yacht racing.
Aha.
Soccer.
Swimming. I know yours. Rugby. Tennis.
Swimming.
Hockey. What kind? Ice hockey or field hockey?
Field
hockey. Okay.
Volleyball.
Enough. This is Paul. Did I miss anyone? All right. Oh, it's sailing. Okay. How about over here? Okay. All right. So, shaking. I think music. You are going to compete in the other part of the big program, because some of us might prefer to compete when it was poetry and rhetoric and art. So the question really is, just like the folks at Corinth, can you identify with this metaphor? Does it bring anything to mind as you think about it? Do you think this worked for Paul or for the author to the Hebrews? Do you think these images of endurance, of faithfulness, of running, and the thing that struck me in the times I've run is, especially a long race where you've got to really calculate how much energy to put out at any moment so you can make it to the end of the race. I can remember, in high altitude growing up in Colorado where I lived at above a mile, there's a difference in the amount of oxygen as you breathe and you're gasping for air. Some of you have had that experience. All of those images really do work when you think about endurance. But of course the endurance he's speaking about is the endurance to keep in the race. And at one point there's the image of, brings in weight and sin, but what he's really talking about is all the distractions of life. All the things that keep us going in many directions rather than focusing on the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal, according to both Paul and the book of Hebrews, is to find that community in which everyone is encouraged to do what each person needs to do to build a new community. So yes, the metaphor breaks down at some point because a race is competitive. And what Paul is really saying is, I want you to run as if everyone could run to their very best and everyone would win. What an image. So in honor of the district and in honor of all the races we're all running, many blessings And may we all endure.